You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
All right, so again, we are in our new series 10, 10. We are calling it 10 series, Perfect Law and Perfect Love. It's perfect because it came from God. But I know in by experience, as we try to follow the commandments of God, as we try to obey God, we experience conflict and tension. Not because there's something wrong with the law, but because we are imperfect. We have issues. We are flawed. And so in our attempt to follow God, we experience that tension. But because God is perfect, we can be sure the laws of God are perfect, even His love. And ang context lang po ng Ten Commandments, I'm not sure with some of you here, but I myself, growing up, I thought that God was a slave driver. He's a hard taskmaster who's just giving rules and commands to people. Tapos yung mga tao, miserable na yung buhay. But I realized that I did not really understand the context of the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments was given by God after He rescued the Israelites from Egypt. The Israelites cried out to God in the midst of their pain and their suffering. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They cried out to God and God heard them. God sent Moses to deliver them and save them. And because of that, they were able to escape. They were able to end the slavery ended. And now they had the opportunity to start all over again. There is a new start available for them. But before they start this new nation, this new community, God gave them rules. So these rules, these commandments, are not rules they need to keep to be loved and accepted by God or earn His favor. No, they already earned the favor of God. They are already loved by God. They are already accepted by God. These commandments are really to ensure that they will enjoy life to the full in the land where God was bringing them. So para pong yung commandments, parang si God is a good father giving good rules to His children, because good fathers give rules to His children. They provide boundaries. That's the context. So when God gave the Ten Commandments, it's because God wants them to live life to the full. And it's only possible if we embrace these boundaries, these commandments. And that's what we're doing right now, to really go through the Ten Commandments and understand the heart of these commandments. So last week we started with the first, which is know God, no other God, God first. Now today we're going to talk about idols or idolatry. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to read from Exodus 20, verse 4 to 6. It says, "You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me." Parents, moms, and dads, our obedience today will impact the next generation. Not only us, but the Bible says even the third and fourth generation. So when we obey God, we're not only doing ourselves a favor, we're actually doing the next generation a huge favor, a huge blessing prepared for them. Verse 6, "But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands." Can we take this moment to pray before we continue? Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word will liberate us, God. We pray that your word will enlighten us. Lord, help us, Lord, to understand what idolatry is all about. And if there's any idol that we have in our hearts, in our life, I pray today it will be smashed, Lord. Today I pray it will be taken away from us. And Lord, I pray you will use this message for you to regain your rightful place in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in order for us to understand the second commandment, there are three words we need to understand mentioned in verses 4 and 5. And these are the words idol, worship, and jealous. Three words, idol, worship, and jealous. Let's start with the word idol. During their time, you know, people have so many idols. They have all kinds of gods. They have a god for war. They have god for fertility. They have god for harvest, for wisdom. There's the sun god. And every need they have a god for it. Because they know that in order for them to live and be successful in life, they need something or someone bigger than them. They need favor. They need blessing. So they have these gods, and they would create images and statues, and they would bow down. And it looks different. In the same way, even up to now, today, there are so many idols all over the world, and they look differently in different places. For example, in Africa, they have this god. If I'm right, his name is Shangun, or the storm god. In India, they have the destroyer god, Shiva. In America, they have American Idol. So iba-iba po talaga yung itsura ng mga idol, no, sa iba-ibang bansa. Even here sa Green Hills, we have what we call the Green Hills Idols. Yeah, mga pastor po natin yan. Frustrated, ano, showbiz personalities. So, images and statues. Now, before we read the next set of verses, here's a disclaimer. I'm not trying to be offensive. I just want to be faithful to the Word of God, preach it to you, and allow God to judge our hearts. Again, these are not victory doctrine. This is not my opinion. And we're going to go through some verses. There's a lot of verses in the Bible about idols and idolatry, but we don't have time to go through every single one of them. But there are four verses I'm going to look at, and these are strong words. But these are not mine. This is the Word of God. So, first one, Psalm 135, verse 15 to 18. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. Idols are product of man's imagination and idea. It's not from God, it's from man. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Actually, mabait pa po yung book of Psalm, no? But here, Jeremiah, very straightforward, not sugarcoating the word. When he was explaining to the people what idolatry is, here's what he said in Jeremiah 10, verse 14 to 15. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, it's fraud, it's fake, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Jeremiah was very strong. He said, these idols that you're bowing down to, these are fraud. These are worthless. It will not add value to your life. They won't be able to help you. Isaiah was more practical and logical in his explanation to the people about idolatry. In Isaiah 44, verse 16 to 17, half of it he burns in the fire. There's this block of wood, and he said, half of it, over the half, he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. Also, he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. So you cook your food and you use that to warm yourself. And the rest of it, he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worship it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." Verse 19, "No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, 'Half of it I burned in the fire, I also baked bread on its coals, I roasted meat and have eaten, and shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?'" How many of you know that makes sense? How could you use the other half in cooking your food, and then the other half, you make that your god, your idol, and you pray to that image and ask for help? Paul, in the New Testament, here's what Paul said about idolatry or idols. "Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? Because when they have an idol, they would bring food and animals to offer a sacrifice. What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons." That's a strong word. He said that offering sacrifices to an idol is demonic. Idolatry is demonic. Having an idol is demonic. That's what he said. Strong words. But if you look and read the entire Bible, the Old and New Testament, having a statue or an image that you bow down to is an elementary level idolatry. Sobrang common po yan. But there's another kind of idolatry that doesn't require an image or statue. And that's probably, maybe many of us here are not aware, but we're guilty of idolatry. Maybe we're not aware, but we have so many idols in our lives, in our heart. Here's what John Calvin, a theologian, famous for his writings, said about idolatry. "The human heart is an idol factory." Where do you find these idols? It's in the heart. We are capable. We have the capacity to create idols. What are idols? Ano bang ibig sabihin ng idol? And here's a simple definition of an idol. Anything we trust and value more than God. Is there anything in your life that you trust more than God? To give you security? To give you joy and fulfillment? To give you love and affection and meaning, significance in life? Is there anything in your life that you think and you believe, if I lose this, then life has no meaning? It's not worth living anymore. Do you have something like that? The Bible says that's an idol. Anything that we trust and value more than God. It can be anyone. It can be anything. Let me give you some examples. First one, it can be money. How many of you know money is a good thing? But you know, idols are good things that became ultimate things in our life. It became an idol. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. The Bible said, if you are a greedy person, if you're a person who will do anything for money, you know, interesting, in America, they had a survey, what would you do for $10,000? It's amazing because some people said, I'm willing to kill a person for $10,000. I'm willing to have a one-night stand for $10,000. It's amazing what people are willing to do for money, even if it's contradicting the will of God for their life. If you are a person who's greedy for money, is willing to sacrifice principles, willing to compromise relationship with God for money, the Bible says you are guilty of idolatry. You're doing that because you believe, if I have more money, then I will have security. If I have more money, then I will be more important. If I have more money, then I will be happy. Instead of looking to God, we look to an idol called money. It can be material things. Last year, there's an article about a trend happening in China. People who are selling kidneys in order to have new gadgets. iPhone, iPad. They're willing. They go to the black market and young people would sell one of their kidneys so that they will have the money so they can buy this technology. Because they believe if I have a new iPhone, then I am important. I have an identity. I will be happy. And they're willing to offer their body for this idol called technology or material thing. You know, in 2011, 17-year-old student from Honan, Central China, sold one of his kidneys for 22,000 yuan to buy an iPhone. Unfortunately, after the surgery, he became disabled. But it's amazing how people are willing to go out of their way just to have something that they believe will complete them. But not willing to go out of their way to grow in their understanding of God and their relationship with God. It can be a relationship. It can be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, there's a girl who, after listening to a pastor about a preaching about idolatry, she was so convicted. After the service, she approached the pastor because this girl was sleeping around. Basically, they are having sex outside of marriage. And when she heard the preaching about idolatry, she was convicted. And when she approached the pastor, here's what the pastor told her so that she would better understand the idolatry that she's guilty of. Here's what he said. I explained to the woman that their bed was a pagan altar and that when she lay down on it with her boyfriend, she was presenting her body as a living sacrifice to the guy, as a real god, and that their fornication was her idolatrous worship of a created thing, namely her boyfriend. Thus, she was choosing the guy over Jesus as the most important person in her life, the basis of her identity, the source of her joy and love, and her hope for affection. He explained that every time you do that, you're actually committing an act of worship. The bed is the altar, you are the sacrifice, and the God is your boyfriend. That is your idol. You're willing to give your body. You're willing to disobey God because you believe that if you have that boylet, then life will be complete. Pag nawala tong boylet na to, pag nawala tong guy na to, then what will happen to me? So that boy evolved into an idol. I would do anything for you. That's idolatry. I can go on and on, but it can be anyone or anything. It can be your career. It can be a hobby. It can be your body, your family. But you know, here's the thing about idols. It always overpromise, but underdeliver. Idols, they are like lovers who promise the moon and the stars, only to betray you and leave you empty and devastated in the end. I'm not sure if some of you experienced that. May naka-experience na ba sa inyo dito yun? Talagang pinangako lahat. Lahat na ng stars. The sun and the moon, I'll give it to you. Ikaw naman para. Sige na, tayo na. Overpromise. Underdeliver. And the same way with us. How many of us have experienced that? Wanting something so bad because we believe that if I have this, I'll be the happiest person in the world. Some of you here, dati, You're just dreaming of Nokia 5110. Pag meron ako niyan, I'll be happy. Then it evolved. Ngayon, iPhone na. You're not happy again. If I have this bag, these shoes, I'll be happy. Then after that, you have 50 shoes and you're still not happy. Pag kami nagkatuluyan, okay na kami. Then nag-break kayo nung high school. Graduate ka na ngayon, nakikita mo na lang siya sa Facebook. Ngayon, nagpapatengkyo ka kay God kasi hindi kayo nagkatuluyan. How many times have we experienced longing for something that we believe will complete us, only to have it and discover it's empty? You know why? Because only Jesus can satisfy the longings in our hearts. Only Jesus. Someone said that there's a heart-shaped vacuum in our heart. We're trying to fill it with career, achievement, relationship, sex, power, money, because we're longing. But it will never stop until Jesus filled that void in our hearts. Only Jesus can satisfy. Do not make for yourself an idol. Second word we need to understand is the word worship. No, there's this verse in the Bible in Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. According to this verse, everything we do with our body is an act of worship. Worship is not something that happens only every Sunday here in V-Mall. We worship here, but worship is not limited here. Worship is something we do every day. Everywhere we go, the essence of our being is worship. We are constantly worshiping. Why are you so passionate with your career? Is it because you know God called you to do that? And so you're putting your whole heart into it because you want to honor God. You want to worship God through your work. Or you're passionate with your career because you believe that if you go higher and higher, if you have more achievements, you will be fulfilled and satisfied. You know, we can use what we have to worship God, or we can use God so we can have more of what we have. Worship. We are continually worshiping. Even atheists are worshiping. The only question is, are you worshiping God or something else? Some people are saying, tsaka ko na iti-take seriously si Lord, I'm not ready. Tsaka na ako mag-worship kay Lord. But you have to understand, you are not in neutral ground. If you are not worshiping God, you are still worshiping. You're still worshiping. You're worshiping someone or you're worshiping something. I like this quote from my teacher in theology, Paul Barker said, if we don't worship God, we don't worship nothing. We worship anything. You're going to look for something to worship. To devote your life, your heart. Romans chapter 1 talked about people who worship creation rather than the Creator. Romans 1:22, it says, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. There is a correlation between idolatry and sexual immorality. If we are guilty of idolatry, somehow it finds its way to sexual immorality. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Are we worshiping creation or are we worshiping the Creator? Do not make for yourself any idol. Last word we need to understand the second commandment is the word jealous. Jealous. Exodus 20, verse 5, "You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods." Maybe some husbands here are saying, "Napaka-godly pala ng wife ko. She's like God. Jealous. I'm a jealous God." You know, that word jealous was ruined by our dating culture. When the word jealous is mentioned, normally, it's negative connotation. Ayoko ng word na jealous because it means possessive, self-absorbed, selfish, suspicious. Parang napaka-negative ng word na jealous, but that's not the original meaning of the word jealous. In fact, God nicknamed himself jealous. What's your nickname? Dave is Dave Sam Melby Strera. Here's the nickname of God. Exodus 34 verse 14, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Deuteronomy 4, 23 to 24, "Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." You know the reason God gave for the second commandment? Why you and I should not have idols in our lives? One reason, because we are serving a jealous God. He's not willing to share his affection, our affection, to someone else. Again, God wants a relationship, not ritual. And if this is a relationship, basically what God is saying, if we're going to have a relationship, I don't want a third party in this relationship. I want your undivided devotion and loyalty to me, the way I am to you. How many of you know God deserves our undivided loyalty and devotion? That's why he said, "You shall have no idols in your life." I don't want that. Can you imagine if I have if yung wallet ko, hindi ako naglalagay ng picture sa wallet ko, no, not nasa phone. But can you imagine if you're married, you have a wallet, and you have the picture there of your wife? That's my wife. Pero sa likod nun, andun din yung picture ng lahat ng past na girlfriend mo. Girlfriend mo nung kinder, high school, college. Pag nakita yun ng wife mo, mga wife dito, matutuwa ba kayo? How many of you know that's World War III? I can't do that to my wife. Pag nakita yun ng wife ko, wala, away na to, walang pastor-pastor dito. I don't care if you're the pastor. That's weird, that's offensive. We all know that. Kung barkada mo yon, parin labo mo naman. Ba't ka maglalagay doon? Isang picture lang, wife lang. That's so, we know that. But sometimes, it's weird because when it comes to our relationship with God, that's not what we do. There's another picture there in our wallet. There's an idol. God said, you shall not make idols for yourself because I'm a jealous God. I want your love, your affection, your devotion, your loyalty. God wants relationship. That's why that's the reason for the second commandment. As I end, I'm guessing some of us here are here for the first time. And maybe the question in your mind is, how do you start this relationship with God? If this is about relationship, not religion, how do you start this relationship with God? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator." Everyone say, one mediator. "Between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." There is nobody in the middle. No saint, no person except Jesus Christ. Between God and man. John 14, verse 6. "Not only there's one mediator," the Bible says, "there is one way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one goes to heaven. No one goes to the Father except through Jesus. No other way. If you're planning to go to Alabang, pero ang sinakyan mong bus pa Pangasinan, no matter how sincere you are, to be in Alabang, you will never get there. You will end up in Pangasinan. In the same way, there's so many people who are so sincere, going to church every Sunday, sincerely wanting to go to heaven and to God. But unless Jesus is the way, no one gets to the Father, to God and to heaven. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus. Revelations 4, verse 11. Last verse. It says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." God is the creator of all things. He is everything that we need. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of everything that we have. God said, "Do not make for yourself any idol." God is everything we need. Amen? Can we all stand as we pray? I'd like to call the music team. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is life. And your word is the truth, Lord, that sets us free. Lord, we acknowledge you as Lord, our Creator. You alone deserve our worship, our loyalty, our devotion. You are everything that we need. You're the source of joy, meaning, fulfillment, security, love, affection. Everything that we need, we can find it all in you. So Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray for the spirit of repentance to come upon us here tonight. If there's any idol in our heart, anything, Lord, that we are trusting and valuing more than you, today, Lord, tonight we repent. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us the truth about idolatry. Forgive us for doubting you. Forgive us for, Lord God, not trusting you, that you are a good God, that you desire the best for us. We still look to other gods. We still make idols for ourselves. Lord, today give us the grace to trust you, to believe you in every area of our lives. If you are here today and you know there's an idol that God is convicting you with, the Bible says offer your body as a sacrifice. If you are here today and you know there's something you need to surrender to God, I want to give you this time to come to God. Pray your own prayer and asking Him forgiveness and ask Him to take away that idol in your heart. Lord, thank you. You said in your word that you are faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. So Lord, tonight, by faith, we receive your forgiveness. By faith, Lord God, we receive your mercy. Lord, today we declare we will have no other gods but you. We will not look to idols, Lord God. We will look to you for every need that we have. We will worship you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages,